Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Read, read, books, books. Read, read, books, books. Read, read, books, books. Hold them in your hand, and you'll hippity hoppity clippity cloppity off to a different land.
Welcome back to The Different Land. I'm Joe Donahue with Scott Meyer of Merit Books in Millbrook. He is here to share with us all of the wonderful spring bounty that he has been stocking the shelves with. And it's a great pleasure to have Scott with us. It's been quite a while. Scott, thank you very much for
being here.
A delight to see you. And
it's always great to be with you, Joe.
Speak with you. So where would you like to begin, my friend?
Well, I'm going to start with I have a theme.
I love when you have a theme.
Einstein believes, or did believe.
Well, what is the theme? Do you want to?
I'm going to tell you.
Okay, all right.
Believes that the distinction, distinction between past, present, and future is only a stubborn illusion. So, that's our theme. It's going to be past, present, and future. So, for example, this is a linear example, but we drove here. We parked. Well, Allison parked. I got out. The sunlight hit me, and the sunlight was from the past. And I'm thinking in my head of the future, of how much I'm going to mess up when I'm talking to you. So these are all an example.
but there's two things that didn't happen. First of all, you're not going to mess up. Second of all, is there sunshine? I don't.
There is.
Yeah, okay,
eight
good.
Years ago.
All right.
So, but I think time is perceived by the individual memories, and they may be different between people and perspectives. And you remember in the past, we talked about that book that the professor from Williams wrote on memories and how the two sisters had this conversation years later about a cake they had made. And they said that one sister said she had been at the house, and they both made it together. And one sister said, "Oh, no, you weren't at the house. I called you for the recipe because it was your father's favorite recipe." And so these are all different memories of this. So then let's go on to the first book, which is called Loud, Awake, and Lost by Adele Griffin. And this is the first book I'm going to talk about. And I picked this book up days after coming home from the hospital after my brain surgery. And I read the first few pages and found a 17-year-old girl waking up from brain trauma. So naturally, I had to put it down for a minute and think. So the months... her months after a car accident nearly claimed her life. Imagine waking up in the hospital not realizing that you have been in an accident and you cannot remember the previous time. I put the book down and tried to see if I had forgotten something. Did I lose some of my memory, some of my knowledge? Was there a hole in my head, other than the ones that you all think I have, that I need to fill? So I started to try to study and fill that hole as much as I could. And I was using theoretical physics to fill the void in my head, whether real or imagined. So I identified with her as she comes home, goes into her room, and sees a poster of a musical group that she has no knowledge of. How could she change so in the past few weeks and months that the friends that were her best friends for many years now are alienated from her today's life, that she does not recall ever leaving them? And so begins the journey to discover what has happened in previous months that has changed her and left her friends behind. Adele Griffin takes us on a journey that times we wonder whether it is real or imagined. Embi tries to reclaim or perhaps reveal the identity that Embi has become these past 6 weeks. So in here, I want to say something about Adele Griffin. Adele Griffin is a two-time National Book Award finalist, and so she's a terrific writer. And the poster on her wall, which I mentioned to you. And so here is this book is an unflinching story of loss and recovery and how Ember goes through this. It's an amazing, amazing story. I encourage everybody to read it.
All right. It is.
Here. You want to see it?
Yeah, there you go. Thank you very much. Adele Griffin, Loud, Awake, and Lost. Oh, I see. Ember. Okay. I didn't know where that came from.
That was the character's name.
Okay. I was thinking it was the author.
Ember,
okay.
But they...
Adele Griffin is the author. Loud, Awake, and Lost, and it's published by Knopf. Okay.
So the next book I'm going to talk about is called The Ghost of Mary Celeste, which is a real event.
Love this book.
Oh, you read it? Great.
Yeah. And we had her, we're having her on our book show. I know she's a resident of your town, and
she was
singing the praises of your wonderful store.
Well, we sing her praises all the time. She's going to be at the literary festival this year, which is June 21st.
Yep.
We have, we've invited over 100 authors, so we'll probably have about 75 authors.
Yeah.
So, but she'll be one of them. But this book is an amazing book, and going with our theme of past, present, and future, this is a real event, as you know, and the way it's perceived, the way Valerie does it is she goes back and gives some history of the family and other disasters that have happened to the family. But it is fictionalized. She is using making it a fictional account based on a real event, although I was having some trouble finding the fictional parts. So the interesting thing that I liked about this was how she wove so many different things into it, whether it was a journal or people's lives or Phoebe Grant, the intrepid reporter, or Violet, who I still think of as Hannah, but how all these different things were woven together. It's really a captivating, it's a magnificent book, and she really weaves things together. One of my favorite points was where she took, using the magazine Cornhill, where Sir Arthur Conan Doyle had written a fictitious account, a ghost story, on the Mary Celeste. He did no research for this article that he wrote. He just was trying to pay his rent. And she put that in to get us back to North America, back to the United States. She sends the magazine back on the boat. People start reading it. And that's a great transition or segue, whatever you want to call it. I thought that was one of my favorite ones.
Yes.
You told me that.
I do what I can.
You do a wonderful job.
Thank you.
But I think, so the story revolves around this 13-year-old Hannah. And she sees when she has a tragedy in her life when she's 13. And she sees the dead woman's ghost. And it takes her, she runs away when she's 15 to go to upstate New York, where she went to Lake Pleasant. She went there later, which is one of the centers of this National Spiritual Alliance. And they have a large gathering there. But this following the past, present, and future is exactly what this book is about. It's going to the future, it's going to the past. And, Violet Petra, as Hannah becomes, is she a fraud? Is she does really hear voices? Does she really find out as she travels, as she's passed? Whether the sad thing, I think, is that she goes to one family, and I think she heals them. She heals their problems they have, whether it's a loss of a child or a loss of a husband or a spouse. And then she moves to another. They pass her. When something happens, they pass her to another one. So she keeps getting passed on and on to different families. But this is a magnificent book. Valerie has done a great job in showing us not only the time period and the fashion. There'll be a little line in and say, oh, that fashion is an old-fashioned thing. It's no longer. So the description that she weaves into it is just a wonderful thing, too. So that's why I really like this book, is there's also the history of the period. And I did some research to see what this spiritual alliance that up in Lake Pleasant was. It really was. There really is.
Oh, absolutely.
And the religion. So Valerie puts real things in her books and makes a really wonderful ghost story.
There's different narrators and different times and places and almost like shattered glass. It's fascinating.
That's a wonderful point. That definitely
beautiful way to tell a story.
And the log book and the so on and so forth. So
gorgeous.
Absolutely. Valerie, you've done a magnificent job, as always. So the next book that I'm going to talk about is set in the future.
Oh, past, present, future. Okay, go ahead.
So this one's called The Martian by Andy Weir. And both of the previous books I couldn't put down, by the way. So the same thing with The Martian. All these books are amazing books. And The Martian, our hero, and Mark Watney, is the first man to set foot on Mars. They've already had three expeditions there. But he's setting foot on Mars. He's going to become the first Martian. And a freak storm, dust storm, comes up. And the other astronauts that are with him see him. Their spaceship is only up to 150 kilometer winds. The winds are 175, so they say, okay, we got to abandon Mars. We got to go back. He gets caught out, and the aerial of their radio gets broken off and pierces the side of his suit. No longer can they talk to him. They think he's dead. So he's there. They take off, and they have no communication with him. So they assume he's dead. So what's happened is the aerial has pierced his side, and the blood from him seals the hole. And he's an engineer and a botanist, and he finds a way, like a modern Robinson Crusoe, to find a way to stay alive on Mars until help can come and get him. The problem is, of course, and we always talk about this, is redundancy. There's no way to communicate with a ship. There's no way to communicate with Earth because they had four communication systems. Three of them were on the spaceship, and it took off. The fourth was broken in the sandstorm. So he has no way of communication. So he has to find a way to communicate. He has to find a way to make food because he doesn't have enough supplies. He has to find a way to make water, get enough water. And it's that journey that he takes. It was just an amazing story. And many people have commented on about him being the modern Robinson Crusoe. And I want to read one of the comments on the back of the book. A book I just couldn't put down. It's the very rare combination of a good original story, interestingly real characters, and fascinating technical accuracy. Reads like MacGyver meets Mysterious Island. And that's from astronaut Chris Hadfield, so who was the commander of the International Space Station. So you can see, even people that have experienced space love this book. And I just wrote so many little comments about it. I kept thinking of some different things. And how it's just my enthusiasm for all these books was just amazing. And this was a wonderful, wonderful book. So I encourage everybody to read this. You don't have to be an engineer to read it. Anybody can read it.
The Martian by Andy Weir. And it is published by Crown. And it is now out in a beautiful cover. And if you want to judge, I'm not saying you should, but if you want to judge a book by its cover, this is a fine place to start.
And soon we will be on Mars, I'm sure. So this is a good book to also, for people going, to make sure you have enough backup upon backup upon backup. So my next book, now we're going back into the past, in the present and future. This is all happening at the same time. Who Discovered America? The Untold History of the Peopling of the Americans. Have you read this one?
I have not.
By Gavin Menzies. Now, he is pretty
controversial.
Thank you.
Yep.
Some of the things, the words don't come out just right.
No, that's all right. That's why I'm here. Why you're here for me. Yes, I do it. You fix me, I fix you. That's fine.
What a good team. So he's written other books that have, like 1421 and so on, best-selling books. But they tell, I'm trying to think of the exact way to say this, whereas the peopling of America, you know, we had Thor, Kon-Tiki with Thor Heyerdahl, who tried to find that Easter Island was this way and so forth, that you could do it. So he's saying that we did not come across the Bering Straits. There's not possible. There was enough food, and the peopling of America couldn't be that big. That there is lots of other ways, sea routes, different places, different on the East Coast and down in with the Mayan and so forth. And here he's trying to show all the different ways. And when I think about the migration of people, it's a fascinating subject. From the first time they come, the different ideas, like sharing of ideas. Like, say, if one group of people has fire and another doesn't, that's way back, then they share that idea. Or one has the addle and the other another doesn't. So this is the sharing of ideas, and how can we prove that? When I was in school, and Pizarro was conquering the Incas in 1535, soon after you saw the Spanish influence in the Incan art. You could say this is Spanish, you could see the Spanish influence. Well, he's showing in the art, there's Chinese influence early on in the art of South America. So there's one example. But even more so, today we have DNA. There's an organism that's found in a mummified body that was only found in China. It's a certain worm that's not found here in the North America and South America. So in this, he explains all sorts of different things, way that this European from Christopher Columbus and so on were not the first. The European settlers were not the first. And so this is a fascinating history, and the implications of the change that we have now is right here. And I think that we need to re-examine all these things. And here's that's the book.
The name of the book is Who Discovered America? The Untold History of the Peopling of Americas by Gavin Menzies and Ian Hudson, and it's published by Morrow. We have about 40 seconds.
Right. Well, that's why I put this book
mention,
in time.
Yes.
That's why I want to say all the time in the world we don't have. It's a book of ours and by Jessica Kerwin Jenkins, and it's a wonderful book. Pick up and look and read. At different times.
It is all the time in the world, a book of ours. Sadly, we don't have all the time in the world, but...
wish we did.
But wish we did. And then, but if we had all the time in the world, we certainly have plenty to read, right?
We have lots of good books.
Excellent. For more information on the Merritt Bookstore, to find each week's book picks list, you can go to our website, wamc.org/roundtable, and that'll bring you to Merritt Books as well. They are in Millbrook. And Scott, it is a great pleasure to have you back, have you here.
Thank you.
It's a delight to see you and looking so great. And we'll look forward to seeing you again very soon.
All right. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you very much. No, I lost my voice. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.